Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the freeradio.com app. Gary Ellerson for Badger and Bagger running back. C. Sparky Pfeiffer, Leroy Butler, Leap 36 in the house as well. And I'm Bill Schmidt, joined now by our radio.com sports NFL insider and the host of Home and Home on the radio.com app. You can also look up just radio.com/home. It is Ross Tucker, our NFL insider from radio.com sports. Ross, welcome back to the cold after you got a couple of days in Hawaii. That must have been a lot nicer than this.
You know what? It was awesome to be in Hawaii, but really, really weird to kind of be on a quasi-vacation during football season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would never choose to do that, but my CBS assignment was Army at Hawaii, so I went, my family came out. I will say this, like, waking up Saturday morning, and at 7 a.m., I turn on the TV and Ohio State's playing Michigan. That's crazy.
That
like
is
7 a.m.
Yeah,
we went
right
to breakfast and I'm having like a breakfast sandwich watching the TV, Ohio State, Michigan. Like, I could get used to that. I'm a morning person. I don't like staying up late. Meanwhile, the game I called was 7:30 p.m. Hawaiian, which was 12:30 a.m. Eastern time Sunday morning. So I had about as much caffeine as I've ever had in my life to get through that.
And then the other game you call this week, you get Eli Manning Fest out in Philadelphia. That might have been a little bit different weather than you were used to when it was pouring buckets of rain down.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, so then then I'm on sideline, and all I could think about while I was on sideline, first of all, I don't know if any of you guys have ever done sideline duty. The only thing that matters is the weather. That's it.
For sure.
So it was pouring down rain the entire time. And I'm from outside of Philadelphia, a little town called Wyomissing. And I'm on the sideline, and with like 4 minutes left in the third quarter, it's 17-3 Giants. And Carson Wentz could not be playing worse. And not a single person left. And all I could think about was, what is wrong with these people? I mean, there's no way I would have still been there if I wasn't getting paid to be there. And they were all rewarded, though, because then the Eagles started playing and they scored 3 touchdowns in the last 20 minutes or whatever, regulation and overtime, and they won. And I was just thoroughly impressed that none of those people left.
Ross, what have you been taking away from the last couple of weeks from the Green Bay Packers? Obviously, their wins have not been impressive on the score sheet, but you know how difficult it is to get wins in the National Football League. They just don't hand those out. So Packer fans are kind of floating here as, are we happy with the result, or should we be looking into why the margin of differential against the 3-win Washington Redskins team was only 5?
You know, I've been hearing a lot of this, and it's not just the Packers. People say the same thing about the Seahawks, which is why a lot of people bet against the Seahawks Sunday night, because they said they just can't possibly keep winning these close games like this. And they were right, and the Rams took the Seahawks to the woodshed a little bit. So I don't know if that's going to happen for the Packers against the Bears. And I understand underlying statistics and all those things. I guess I would just submit to you, like, a win's a win, man. You know what I mean? Like, they are 10-3, and they can still play better. Like, my takeaway would be, when you're in the NFL and you're winning, even though you're not playing your best, that's a really good sign. And at times this year, we've seen the defense look dominant. We've seen the running game, especially Aaron Jones, be dominant. And we've seen Aaron Rodgers do Aaron Rodgers things, even when Devontae Adams wasn't there. And so I guess I would be happy if I'm a Packers fan. We're 10-3. We haven't really done all those three things at the same time in the same game. In fact, we've rarely even done two of those things at the same time in the same game. So you'd have to think the potential for what the Packers could be this season is still kind of off the charts in that regard.
If I asked you this question, what is the Packers' offensive identity? What would be your response?
I would say that they don't really have one. And that is sort of a week-to-week thing. And that I think that the head coach wants the identity to be the run game.
That's the truth, though, Ross. That's the truth. You're speaking the truth. That is the truth.
Yeah, I think it is. And I would like to see him lean on the run game a little bit more. You know, they're going to get to times in the playoff games when Aaron Rodgers is going to have to do superhuman things. I think it'd be nice if you kind of limited the number of superhuman things you needed Aaron to do. You know, like, I think it'd be nice. I would say everything in the passing game should be easier when you're running the ball really well, which is why, like, Sunday against the Redskins, when Aaron Jones is running it that well, yet they only score 20 points. It's just bizarre.
Yes.
Because you'd think when they run it that well, you'd think Aaron Rodgers would just be able to slice and dice the other team with play action, but it doesn't seem like it's happening.
Last one to let you get going. I want to hit on your Princeton Tigers. Big game this weekend?
Well, football season's over for Princeton.
Is
what are we talking about?
I thought they had a game this weekend. No, yeah, it is over. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, Ivy League. I thought you were going to hit me up on hoops, and I was going to say, man, I don't know the hoops team that well.
Here's what we were talking about, because the Packers and the Bears are one of the oldest rivalries in the NFL. What was the oldest rivalry? Is Princeton have a rivalry within your conference that is pretty old?
Yeah, I think that they've played Yale the most times. I think you guys probably know this, that Princeton played the first college football game ever against Rutgers in 1869, which is why it's the 150th anniversary of college football. I don't mention it that much because we lost somehow. but you know what's crazy about that? Princeton played Dartmouth at Yankee Stadium like a month ago, and that game was supposed to be against Rutgers, but Rutgers legit turned down the game because they were afraid of losing.
What?
That's Rutgers is a Power team. 5 Big Ten program mm-hmm. that has 85 full scholarships. Princeton is a non-scholarship Ivy League program that has zero athletic scholarship. Now, I will say this. We get a lot of good players who turn down scholarships, like myself, either because the financial aid's so good or because the chance to go there, it's worth paying some money, because I think I had like 7 job offers my senior year.
Wow.
It really is crazy.
Wow.
I always joke, like, when these guys go to Ole Miss or whatever for 20 grand, I'm like, Princeton, they give you business cards and they're worth a lot more than 20 grand.
Oh,
I can tell you that much right now. But yeah, Rutgers wouldn't even play us. So it's funny. My big rivals, I felt like, were Harvard, because I almost went there, and Penn, because they were the two best teams and because I'm from near Philly. But the older guys, most of them would say Yale, because Yale, like, back in the day, had Calvin Hill and a whole bunch of guys that went to the NFL. Yale was, like, beastly in the 70s and 80s. John Spagnuolo and all trying to think of the old coach, I'm blanking. Dick Geron. You know what I mean? Like, they had
Geron's
guys,
my coach,
that went to the league.
Yeah.
So the guys from the 70s and 80s, it's Yale. But for me, it was Harvard and Penn. And then we didn't beat them one time in 4 years. I'm like throwing these guys on the ground, spearing them in their gut on the ground, and we're still losing. It was so frustrating.
That's Ross Tucker, our Radio.com Sports NFL insider. Nobody does it better. He's brought to you by the midsize mattress from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Catch Ross each and every weekday, Home and Home, his new show out on the Radio.com app or Radio.com/home. Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week, all right?
Absolutely. We had a guy on today, a British dude, in the second hour of Home and Home, who went to all 32 NFL stadiums in 84 days this year.
Oh.
And broke it all down. I was very surprised he didn't say Lambeau was his wow. favorite experience and favorite stadium. He said the Chiefs and the Lions. So
Lions.
You can listen. If you can, the Lions, I couldn't believe.
Interesting.
You can listen
yeah.
to hour number two of Home and Home today on demand. I encourage you to do that. And do not miss Baby Tausch on the Bucks postgame show. Okay?
Nope.
That's my other big thing.
You're the man, Ross. I think the reason why he liked Detroit was because the casino's right across the street.
I don't know what it was. I couldn't, like, out of all the teams, because we talked about it on the show, and for me, it's Lambeau, and it's not close. Like, I don't really have a close second NFL stadium. It's Lambeau for so many different reasons. I can kind of see Arrowhead.
Sure.
But, you know, it also might have been a little bit the people he was around, right? Like, maybe he was around awesome people. But the Green Bay people are the only place you go in the NFL. I played there a few times where, like, 75% of the stadium's full an hour before the game for pregame warmups. Like, the people are unbelievable up there.
Yeah, and the other half are peeing in somebody's bathroom that they parked in their front lawn. That's exactly how that pretty much goes in Green Bay. Ross, appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week. That's Ross Tucker joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.